Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Jesus said, "How many of you wanting to build a house will not first sit down and count the costs and know whether he has what it takes to start building? Lest after you have started building the house, you know, and could not finish, people will come around and say, 'Who's this person that started building? Did he not count the cost and all that? Did the person not consider this? Didn't you consider that?'" You know, like that. I remember some time ago, it was a building project, and I just know that the story around the building project was that my dad was trying to complete a building, and he went to do the noggin, the roofing, wood for the roofing. And after a while, a long period of time, he started calling, you know, all the children at that point, let's do this now. And the wood is getting bad. And we start asking, who sent you to do wood when you don't have roof? You know, and that reminded me of the fact that if you want to do anything, you have to count the cost. Now, if nobody happens to be available to release any resource that time, the whole of that wood will get messed up. Is that not? And we will have to, you know, bring that one down, buy again, then roof when we're ready. Now, the truth is this. There's nothing wrong with taking steps of faith, but you must understand that in life, God also wants us to be strategic in the way we do things. One of the things a lot of believers don't do is strategy. And these are the things that the secular world runs with. But it is not for the secular world. Actually, it is God's system. When God created the heavens and the earth, he had a picture of what he wanted everything to look like. And he was just speaking based on the picture in his heart. He was speaking based on the picture he had in his mind already. Light be. He knew he wanted light. He commanded the sun to be in one direction. He told the moon to stay here. He told the stars to stay here. And he told them which one will be for day and which one will be for night. You know, the times and the seasons. And he commanded the waters under the ground and the ones above to give way for the earth. You know, and he said some of the waters hang up, some of you hang down. You remember the story of Noah? The waters that came down was coming from up and down. The Bible says the fountain of the great deep was burst open. So there are waters up that you are not even aware of. And he laid the foundations of this world. All these things did not happen by chance. God saw it in his mind. He had a clear mental picture. So this is 2025 that we're about to enter. Do you have a clear mental picture of what you want your year to look like? Do you have an image of what you are seeing already? Where we are like this now, there's an image, you know. And I have another image again of what it should look like by June 2025. I have an image by the mercies of God of what I expect 20 days of glory to look like, because I know the hall will be really pretty small. And I have image. I'm picturing things. I'm thinking. I'm looking in, because I know there's so much that God would have us do. Whenever I come to church, I have an image of the kind of believers that I desire God will help me raise. People who are solid Christ, you know, like disciples that are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, set for global. I have a picture of it. My messages are tailored towards that. My teachings are tailored towards that. I do as much as I can to ensure that I tailor the message to suit it, so that at a point I'll start seeing people who are true disciples of Jesus. They are purpose-driven. They are not just living anyhow. They are living based on a sense of consciousness of purpose, that I am not here for nothing. I am here on an assignment. Intentionally, the messages will be directing all that. It will now be left for whoever is willing to open up their heart to align with it and become that. And the same thing has to happen in our lives, our businesses, our career, whatever it is that you're doing. You want to have a picture. You don't want to live without a picture. Any person who does not have a clear mental image, in fact, one of the ways that God will change a person's life from one level of glory to another is how far you can see. God brought Abraham out of his house and he said, "Abraham, stand, look outside." He looked. He said, "Look up to the sky." And he looked. He said, "How far can you see?" "As far as your eyes can see, I will give it to you." And that's what God is saying to somebody here. Whatever you are seeing for 2025, I can give it to you, because he said, "I can do all things," Paul speaking, "through Christ that strengthens me." What kind of business do you want to run in 2025? Are you comfortable with the level you're running, the local level? Do you want to go global? What kind of career do you want to have in 2025, the kind of level you want to rise in your career ladder. If you are an employer, what kind of employer do you want to be? Do you want to be that kind of person that has built stamina, strength, and become a better person, or you remain the same? You don't want to remain the same. In the first service, I told us about the story of Nokia, how Nokia lost its balance because Nokia refused to innovate. Innovation is very key in our personal lives, in our marriage, in our business, in our everything you do. You need to innovate. You need to innovate. You need to ask yourself, what's happening? How is it moving? Where is God directing the world to? How is the attention of God moving so that I will not be left behind? The world was moving so fast in the digital age, and Nokia was still struggling with its Symbian operating system. At that time, Samsung was moving very fast, Infinix moving very fast, even little brother Techno was making some sense already. But Nokia, the giant, and you know, it is the story of how the mighty are falling. There are some businesses that are relevant today, they will not be relevant tomorrow. There are some things that people are doing today and they are making money from it today. You will not make money tomorrow. Anything changes. Things change. Especially when there are things that are within the trends and running around the world that we are living right now. So you must ask yourself, what exactly am I doing? How am I aligning myself with change? How many of us know those they call Radionic? You know how much Radionic were making a lot then? Then all of a sudden now, there's no... Do you have Radionics? And if there's a radio nick here, I'm sure that you're a little broke. Because nobody repairs any radios. All the radios are in our phones. And if the phone crashes, you don't need any radio again. Am I making sense here right now? So those guys, some of them eventually moved to become importers of some other gadgets and other things. Some of them could not move. They remained at the same level. And that's where they have been stalked. Or they will have to go back to something else. At a particular point, we realized that people were making, you know, different kinds of computer. When computer just came out, you could do some little bit of repairs here and there, but now nobody bothers about that. Can you just change the motherboard? If it's a desktop, just remove the motherboard or remove the processor, just remove something and put something. Nobody wants to worry themselves. So if you're a technician and a repairer of those things, care not taken, you begin to lose your job. Are we here together? Yes. So many people have lost their job. So you need to be able to think and know where you're going. How many of us know Kodak? Those are into photography. Kodak. Remember when those mummies come to your house to snap your children, birthday, your husband, your wife or something, they come with their Kodak analog camera. Analog. You know the analog camera? They usually have this, what do you call it? Film and all that. Now, Kodak was even the first company. They were doing well with analog. Then they were the first company to start doing deep digital. But they were scared. They were afraid that making so much of this digital will affect their analog. Instead of thinking of making more of the digital, they relaxed. Then Sony entered the market, Canon entered the market, and the rest of them swept into the market. Today, Kodak is a bygone story. Nobody's talking about Kodak again. It's no longer relevant. How many of us know Yahoo? You see how Yahoo moved gradually to Google. Google shifted Yahoo because Yahoo was not paying attention to the trends and innovation. They are not paying attention. I want you to listen to me carefully. What I share with you, it might look very simple, but some people will just wake up to realize that what happened to me? What exactly happened? That was the question they asked the CEO of Nokia. He couldn't answer. He was even in tears. Now, he can't explain what exactly they did not do. But the truth is that they were not moving as people were moving. Am I making sense here right now? Yes. So there are many other companies like that. Many other companies. You know, Netflix has moved Blockbuster. Blockbuster was the real movie stuff. Netflix just came and flipped off everything. And today everything is Netflix. Nobody even knows that Blockbuster ever existed. Some of us don't even know the name. I'm saying it like you're saying, how was that? That was the Netflix of the world. Are we here together? How many of you use Motorola? Hey, where is your Motorola? What's it roll? It has been rolled away. Now, why was it rolled away? Because of change. The only thing that is constant in life is change, but one of the things people fear the most is change. And if you refuse to change, you will be changed. If you refuse to change, you will be changed. There's somebody else that is innovating. There's somebody else that is thinking fast. There's somebody else that is acting fast. As a married woman in the house of your husband, innovate. Go and select some nice things you are going to buy, change some things, appear, like an angel, so that innovate. Are we getting what I'm saying here now? Yes. As a married man too, especially men, your wives are quite more younger than yourself, innovate. Start buying chucks like this that I'm wearing and be looking like boy, oh boy. So that your wife will not be looking like, say, ah, daddy wa. Innovate. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Everybody needs to think, from your business to your personal life to the way you run things. I said it before, some of us, your shop is like a shrine. You know, Maggie here, Pepe here, onions here, everything. We don't know whether it is a shrine or agbo shop or something. Even those who sell agbo have tweaked their shop. They have show glass now. They are innovating. They are creative. They are changing things. Amen. Am I making sense? Yes. So we need to start thinking. It's a new year that we're pressing into. She wants to quickly make moves. You don't want to be left behind. And one of the things God wants you to do is to have plans. Do you have a picture of what you want your life to look like September, October, November? Do you have an image? Do you have an image? You know, I said something in the first service and I was just trying to pick through it. And I saw, you know, one strong leader in business and career mentioned something. He said, greatness is not in where we stand, but in what direction we're moving. We must sail sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it. How many of you remember I said that in the first service? That sometimes you have to move with the tide. What's happening now, you move. At other times, you are going against what is happening, but you can't explain. But because somehow against it is the direction. So you have to be sensitive enough to know what direction is it going now. How is it moving? All the things that we are importing from China, the Chinese companies all over the world and corporation, they are sitting down. In fact, the Chinese government, not just the companies, the governments are thinking of how they will take over more territories and stock every part of the world with their products. So that some company, some organizations that are very hard with Chinese people, like Japan, South Korea, North Korea, that feel like we don't want anything from you. I believe they are thinking of how to penetrate that market too. Because their goal is to become the world power. That's the goal. And they are pressing very fast. They were once a very poor nation. They found themselves there. India was once a very poor nation and is gradually moving. Still a third world nation, but gradually moving, making things happen. In medicine, they are pushing very, very hard. Becoming leaders of organizations, when you come executives, they are pushing as hard as they can. Now, these are people and nations that are thinking. If nations think and they can move, if individuals think, they will move. Wherever you are now is the quota quality. Wherever you are now is the total quality of your mind. That is how strong your mind is. That's where you are. That's how powerful your mind is. So if your mind has more potential and it is hidden inside, we can now say that we will see the quality in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years. So you need to make up your mind. Say, I will invest so much in my mind. I will put so much and pay attention to where I'm going to and what we're about to do, or else nothing will happen. You know the clipper they used to use those days, that hand clipper like this. And you know, at a particular point, some people were still holding it, believing that it is eternity. Nobody is holding it again. If you hold it, wondering now, are you okay? Remember when I was young, when they want to barb our hair, they will put blade on razor. And my mom would just be scraping it, some of them like this. Until when we grew up, we say, never, God forbid. She would say, come here. I lie. I run away. Because we saw that somebody had innovated and they had electric clippers. And we wanted to use that. People move in the direction of change. People move in the direction of innovation. So you need to start thinking as a Christian, as a child of God, how you want to make something happen in your life. And I pray that we will not be left behind in the name of Jesus. So every leader, as a family man, as a woman heading your, assisting your husband and keeping your children, owner of a school, owner of a business, you run a personal business, you run something small in your space. Number one, keep the vision right and straight in front of you. Keep it in front of you. Articulate it very well. Have an idea of what you expect to happen by February or by October or by March. Have a clear picture. Without a clear guiding picture, your life will never be able to emerge to what God wants it to be. Don't live like those who say things like whatever will be. No. They are spectators in life. The real people who make things happen in this life, they are intentional about it. Do you know that the pharmaceutical organizations in the world all over right now, they are thinking very strong on the things they are going to do? As much as Bill Gates is one of the richest people in the world, he has a lot of strategy to penetrate both health sector, penetrate apart from media, tech and everything. He's did everything he can, and he's looking out African nations because he knows that they will need him. So when they say they are doing Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation, they are giving this, they are giving that, they are making a lot of impact. We are making money through it. Am I talking above our heads? What I'm saying is not relevant to us. If you have too much, if you have spirituality and you don't have wisdom to run, you might not be able to go far. You will now get irritated one day. You get annoyed. You'll be angry at God. You'll be angry and say, why now? What kind of I'm serving God. And God is saying, wisdom is profitable to direct. So think about it. Think about it very well. And let's start moving in the direction of light, and God will help us in the name of Jesus. I've been sharing with us some things to let go in 2024 as you enter 2025. I started on Monday. I shared 5 tips. Tomorrow morning and next tomorrow morning, I'm going to be sharing 2 more tips before we get into the new year, and I'll wrap up the 7 days of wisdom and power early in the morning, 6 a.m. Just follow me at Mavis Oji on YouTube. Pam, it's as easy as that. And those of us who are not following us on Instagram, church, all the prayer points for the fasting and prayer we are hauling out now, you will not be able to see it because not many of us are on the church page. Some of us have been members of the church for a while, but you're not on the church page, the WhatsApp group, where we're able to share all the things we need to share. You might want to reach out to the admin desk and let them give to you so that you can get your phone number, they can add you to the group. Now, if you're not there, follow us on Instagram so that you can get the prayer points every day and join us in prayer. There's something about corporate prayers. There's something. We have started the fasting today already. I know some people will say, I know they fast any fasting. Well, no problem. It's okay if you think you have fasted enough. But one thing I know is that it is never enough. In the kingdom of darkness now, they are strategizing. There are some people they have marked down already for March, April, May, October, November, December. They have used different strategies. For some of them, they will give mysterious sicknesses. For some of them, it is cancer. For some of them, it is accident. So many things. The Bible says they have been appointed unto death. Then Sammy said, deliver them who have been appointed. And how do we secure that deliverance? On the altar of prayer. The Bible says we take our place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Said, I will say of the Lord is my refuge and is my fortress. Don't trivialize prayer. Don't joke about it. Don't play with it. Don't just say, I beg. Church people, they pray a lot. Please don't trivialize it. The nations that don't do this kind of our own system of religion of church like this, they have one thing or the other that they consult. Go and check very well. China, they have strong Buddhists. They have a solid Buddhist system within their religion in their own place there. Go and check in India, Hindu. Go and check many nations of the world. People have different things that they worship and they practice. But we know that we are serving the one true and living God. And that's why we have to do it with all our hearts, with all our life, and be very committed. And I pray that God will help every one of us in the name of Jesus. So let me just speak on what God laid in my heart. I believe that you have gotten what I'm saying. Yes. And if you are the leader of an organization, you own a business or something, you want to put within your structure a system of growth or consistently checking best practices. One of the things I try to do with our people sometimes, I say, go and check what is the best practice. What is happening when it comes to publicity and adverts? What is happening? Because I'm also checking as much as I can, church systems and structures. What exactly is happening? The best practices. Some of the latest books, I'm looking out for them to know what is new. So 3 things I ask myself: what am I doing now? What am I doing next? What am I doing new? What am I doing now? What am I doing next? What am I doing new? If you don't think like this, you wake up one morning and realize everybody has moved. It will never be our portion in the name of Jesus. So what God laid in my heart is your perspective. How does God perceive you? Please pay attention, everyone. Just pay attention to this. I believe the message you minister to us. There's what we call the principle of perception. And perceptions are usually created as a result of the behavior and the attitude of people. They create perceptions. When my dad was alive, he had a perception of me. And how I got to know the perception my dad had of me was when he wrote his biography. So at the back of his book, he wrote about 5 of us. He wrote what he he perceives us, the kind of people that we are, just like Jacob did in Genesis chapter 48. He said, gather yourselves, you sons of Jacob, gather yourselves so that I will tell you what will happen to you in the future. So in my daddy's biography, he wasn't telling us what will happen in the future. He prayed for us in his book before he passed on, but he mentioned something. And one of the things I paid attention to that, I didn't know he paid attention to that, he said that he knows that Mavis loves God and he loves church. That the only thing is that he seemed to love God and the things of the church and God more than his family. Now, my dad said that I spend a lot of money. He mentioned that I spend a lot of my resources on church, God program, crusade, event, than the family. Now, it meant a lot to me. The reason is because that's practical truth. It's truth. I had to start thinking of how to really adjust a little bit, because I also heard my siblings say the same thing. I adjust this church, and you know they feed. If they are contributing one to another, I'll just say, but if it has to do with God or church, zoom. So they said, And because of that, I had to start readjusting. Why? They had formed a perception of me already. And if I don't do anything about it, that's what they will believe about me. Now, it's not as if God is not happy that I'm doing what I'm doing. But God will also have me do something good for my family, is that not? So I had to start working on that perception that I had. Because I wish he were alive now to see that some things have really changed. But he's no longer here. But I know he's wherever he is. And if they have the privilege of seeing, oh, they see us. Yes, the cloud of witnesses. They see us and they're saying, okay, yeah, he's getting it right now. I can imagine my dad just patting me at the back. I say, continue. Very good. Very good. Why? Because I saw the way I behave, the way I spend, the things I do, made him form a perception. So he started perceiving me to be that person that he said, you really love God, you are passionate about God, but probably would have wanted me to pay a little bit more attention to, and not my immediate family, oh. My immediate family, I'm trying there. Yeah, but he's talking about, you know how family people do now when they are contributing money in the family. Everybody, this one, they want to do this. Those kind of things. If it's my immediate family, I think, I don't know. But my wife can say if I'm doing that, I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. Yes. How Modogu now? Glory to God. So, perception determines a lot. In Romans chapter 9 verse 13, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau I have hated. Jacob have I loved, Esau I have hated. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. My question when I started reading this was, why? Why would an almighty God hate somebody? I now saw that it's not exactly like that. With more Bible studies, I realized that God is all-knowing. So he has seen the end from the beginning. God did not determine the way Esau will behave. Esau's choices and decisions will form the basis for God's conclusion and perception of him. Now what that means is this: if I have seen a movie from the beginning to the end, I can conclusively say that I don't like this particular character. Not like I hate the person. Many of us understand what I'm saying. Some of us, you hate some characters in movies. You have not met them physically. You hate them because of the part, the role that they play. Is that not? But in reality, if you meet them and they are celebrities, you want to shake them. Oh, wow. So it doesn't mean you hate them, but they have chosen to play a part in the movie. Maybe they are murderers or cultic people, ritualists and all that. So you just, I don't like this kind of person. So anytime you see an image of maybe then, of maybe a Kanayo, occultic movement comes to your head. You understand what I'm saying now? Or you see, who is that person again? One of those guys. Huh? Patience. You see a very hard woman, difficult woman. You just, whereas those people in real life might just be very nice, calm going, easy people. But the character that they have taken on in that movie has informed your senses and you have perceived them to be a particular kind of person. So because God has seen the end from the beginning, God is speaking based on that movie of the life of Jacob and Esau. So he's saying, Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. Then I ask myself, why? The decision of Esau and Jacob. One day Esau came back from the field, you know, where he had gone to catch games like animals and all that, was a hunter. While this other guy is a homely person, he knows how to cook and arrange food. So when he got back to the house, Esau is the firstborn, and Esau is supposed to have a double portion of his father's inheritance. Now, the double portion means that they are going to share and give him twice as much as others. Twice as much as others. He will get times two of what every other person will get. That's a big one. And not just in material things, the favor that the father will show him and many other things. That's what he was supposed to get. But the guy came back one day for just one plate. How much is a plate of food right now in a standard restaurant? 5,000, 7,000, 10,000, depending on the restaurant, is that not? Depending on the restaurant, some of them are as much as, you know. I remember where I went for my birthday, they gave me leaf, vegetable, green things. And they gave me good, I can't forget, they gave me something very nice that day, but I told myself that on my birthday, I would try something. Where was that place again? Doesn't look like a Nigerian, Ikoyi something, French something. So I just sat down there, and they just brought the thing. So I told the white guy that is the manager, I asked them, I said, no, why would they didn't put veggies? Because I read the list and there's no veggies. Me or more. If I knew, I would not ask for veggies. Please, when you go, I don't ask for veggies if you don't need veggies. I thought veggies would be something like lettuce or some other things with salad. They now gave me veggies. Some veggies are white. I didn't know veggies can be white. Then some veggies, when you eat them, it will be doing, I may not have ate something like the head of yam. So they gave me veggies. So I started to eat veggies. I ate I could not eat cheese. So I just left it. Now the reason I wanted to just eat something, you know, and that was how that went. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say this morning is that you must understand that the perception, God has a perception of all of us. So we are his children. We're created by God. There's a way God perceives you. Okay, God had a perception of Pharaoh. Guess what he said about Pharaoh? He said, I know Pharaoh. He will harden his heart. He will never agree. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here now? So God now says, since he will harden his heart, I will help him harden his heart so that I can kill him. He said, you're not getting what I'm saying. I don't know if anybody's getting my message today. Is it making sense to you? So God is saying that Moses, go. But you see Pharaoh, I know the kind of heart he has. His heart is so stubborn and hard. No matter how you try to beg Pharaoh, he will never let you go. He said, but that is what I will use to destroy him. In fact, I will so harden his heart that it will be so tough that when you leave, instead of him to cry, he will pursue you to his death. Why? Pharaoh has always been hard. Pharaoh had formed a character, an attitude, or choices that he had made, and God has formed a mindset about Pharaoh. And because of that mindset, God said, no worry, that's how you will end. We have to be very careful the kind of persons we are. You have to be careful the kind of way you think. There are certain mindsets that are very terrible and bad. Don't form those kind of mindsets. If you form that mindset, it will determine the way you behave, the way you act, the way you talk, and it will inform the way God begins to see you. And if God begins to see you in such a way and there's nothing he can do about it, most likely that is what will kill that person. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? Perceptions, very, very powerful. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7. Can you help us with it? 1 Samuel 16, 7. A few minutes ago, let me see how I can do this. 1 Samuel. He said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because he has refused him. For the Lord does not see as men see. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Everybody in this room, God sees your heart. The decision you're about to make tomorrow, God saw the day you were talking with that girl, whether he wanted to deceive her, he knows. God knows that as you're collecting that boy's money, you will not eventually do anything. You don't want to marry him. He knows. Why are you like that? I can just imagine an angel standing by side saying, hey, what kind of person can she? Why? Because God knows us. He knows you. God knows that you have said in your heart that she been a Christian in me, and your wife, I go suffer and make it there. You know, go fit do anything. As far as he's born again, he will not slap me, he will not beat me. And you are making the life of your husband hard. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Or you decide that you're going to be very hard on your wife, you will be hard
or your children. God sees that kind of heart and he's not happy about it. You might need to adjust, because to the merciful he will show himself merciful. If you are hard on people, when is the day of your own judgment, they'll be hard on you. The principle of life is this: blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. The reason some people die in an accident, everybody die, one person escape, go and check. Sometimes that person had been an instrument of mercy and deliverance to others, and God said, you cannot reap this kind of harvest. Come out. I want you to know that God knows our hearts. And he said in his word, he said, to the crafty I will show myself crafty, to the pure I will show myself pure. So sometimes it is not even God doing anything, it's just the way he has programmed life to be, that there will be seed time and there will be what? Harvest. Am I communicating in this service? I want this message to sink into your heart, so that you don't go and form, I'm a very hard guy, I'm a very smart lady. May God help us in Jesus' name. So your perceptions are built by your behavior. So it is not God that does anything, it's just human beings that make decisions that make God see them the way God now sees them. Now let's talk a little bit about perceptions are built by our behaviors. I talked about Esau. I told you how he sold his birthright. He valued temporary satisfaction over eternal inheritance. How many of us have seen all those things they do on television? They now tell people that, how many of you would like to get $1 every day for 2 years? And those of you that would like to get $200 now. You've seen all those kind of things. Then some people just say, give me $200 now. But $200 is 200 days. $100 for 2 years will be 600 or 700 or something. Is that not? Now, why won't you delay the gratification and accept to get it in bits, which you can even multiply after 200 days? You can turn that one to an investment and start getting another one. But some people say, oh, my, forget that now, scam. Oh, what if the 200 days? No, what if I die? Why are you anticipating death? It is a mindset. Some people have a very limiting, shallow, blank, dull mindset. And we need to come out of that place so that we can liberate our lives. Because our mindset determines the quality of life that we will live. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? Think about it. Sometimes you sit down and you're advising a particular person and say, this business you're going to do like this. See. You say, no. Come, the way you are thinking about it, it's not like you say, no. At the end of the day, enters, everything sinks. You say, now the way we God want time. No! God does not want it that way. It's the way you want it, the way you decided. That's where it has come. Say, I'm gonna forget that thing. I did not God devil, not the way God is. No, God is just watching us, watching our choices, watching our decisions, because he has seen the movie from the end to the beginning, to the end, from beginning to the end. Human beings are beings of choice. Satan decided to overthrow God. God just kicked him out. He watched him. He saw it. He said, what's happening? And he kicked him out. It was his decision. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Did God stop them from sinning? What's that Eve? Adam, no. Hey, mama, if you chop up, you will be naked. Did you see God do that? I have told you, don't eat apple. The day as they were eating, as Eve was taking the apple, God was watching her. You expect that God would have just showed up and said, you would have scattered humanity today. God doesn't have that time. You need to know God. Maybe next year I will teach us God. Many believers don't know God. You know the character of God when you study the Bible. Because somebody would have said, Pastor, how do you know God? It's the character, is in his word. If you want to know a person, you read his word, you see his behavior, you see his action, you see what he does. God can wipe off a whole nation to save two people. So don't mind anybody that's telling you that God cannot, if God is so loving. If you want to know, God has shown us himself. God is not mystified or his mystery. I understand that we cannot understand his ways completely, but we can understand his character and attributes. We can say that these are some things about God that we can say that he loves righteousness, he hates unrighteousness. God will reward the just and move the unjust. We know those basic things. So as we're pressing into 2025, what is the perception that God has of you? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was speaking about the Macedonian church. And guess what he said? Look at it. 2 Corinthians 8 from verse 1. Please just give me 5 minutes and let's see. I'll try to wrap up. He said, moreover, brethren, we do not wait for the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. Now, Paul is speaking based on his perception. He said, how that in a great trial of affliction, an abundance of their joy. Trial of affliction and abundance of their joy. Wait. Trial of affliction plus abundance of their joy. I think you need to read the Bible and see it. Look at how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. So they put joy in between trial and poverty. Abounded, they now put another thing, unto riches of their liberality. Paul is speaking about them now. Now go verse 3. He said, For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Go ahead. Praying with us, with much entreaty, that we will receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And verse 5 now. As this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What is he saying? They were in trial, they were in poverty, but they were giving. So Paul formed the perception about them that those guys are givers. He did not form a perception that the poverty and the thing was not what he looked now. He said, despite their poverty, despite how hard things were, they still came to us and said, we must give. So Paul said, no, calm down, you guys are not. He said, no, don't worry about that, Paul. We will give. But some of us here now, there's a perception that heaven has about you, that anytime there is argument, you don't like to settle. You're always the person that will say, go see, I go end. They say, let's call what somebody's. You can't call anybody, even if you call Jesus here now. God knows that you talk like that. How will God help you? For some people in heaven, God knows that you are very stingy. You are the owner of a radite company because your hand is acaradite like this, very, very radicious. He knows, and he says that this one is very stingy. So anytime they're about to do something in millions and in billions, God will not visit your house because you don't qualify. You will not bring it out. He will go and look for somebody else that might be not as rich as you are, but he has an open hand more than yourself. That's how God works. God doesn't walk through the rich people. God walks through those whose hands are open. Are you hear what I'm saying? Many rich people have failed God, and many poor people have disappointed God too. So it's not because they are rich or they are poor. It is their attitude, their kind of person. Some people are very moderate, but when it comes to things, they are willing to open up their. God knows them. God knows that there are certain guys. He cannot give you certain kind of ladies you admire. You will kill them. The number of people dying in this world are plenty than to add for you to kill somebody. And there are some ladies, God might not be able to give you some kind of guys because he knows that the goodness in this guy will expire as soon as he meets you. You just turn a very good guy to a blank black devil. No, devil is not black. They are yellow devils too. I'm just saying. Is anybody get what I'm saying now? What I'm trying to teach you, I want to understand how it works. If you are an employer, I use this example. You own a, let's even start a small business, and you have two girls or two guys, a guy and a girl working for you, and both of them work in that store, and you realize that anytime you come around and you're complaining about something that is wrong, the girl will just say, oh, no problem, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to attend to it. Then the guy will go, this man complains too much. Nah. Then you act as if you didn't see the guy. You just moved on. He has seen. But you know, at that moment, the employer has made decision in his heart already. It's possible that he has started thinking of who will replace that person already. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? So he does it the first time he sees that. He does it the second time. Now, possibly, maybe that guy realizes that what he has done is wrong. Then the next time he realizes that the guy is no longer behaving like that. If he had a plan to replace him before, he begins to change his mind. True or false? It means that our behavior, our attitude can make people change their mind or accept whatever it is they have said concerning us. I'll show you one example and I'll close this service. Are you ready for that example? Okay, let's look at it in the Bible. Jesus is speaking here. Matthew chapter 21 from verse 28. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 21. Why I'm saying this is because you need to know how plain our hearts are before God. God sees all of us. God sees all of us, and he wants us to start behaving the way we should behave. He wants us to genuinely love people. He wants us to genuinely act. Don't have a heart to cheat or be hard or wicked or destroy anything. No. Some people know that they are treating their wives as slaves. Some men know that they are treating their wives. Some women know that they are treating their husbands, you know, with wickedness. All manner of magocious behavior. And say, it's not my fault. It's the way life is. It's not life. It's your decision. You can change. Some children here, you know you are giving your mother a headache. Stop that. If they say you should not go to club, you can sit down in the house on Friday night. At least, if you don't go to club, start by watching club. After watching club, you will stop watching and going. Why do you want to kill somebody with high blood pressure? Share a little bit more on it.
You want to kill the people of this world? And you know your mother has drugs. She's struggling with high blood pressure. If there's only one thing you can do for her, stop that. You will not die. And if you decide that that's where you want to be going after she has died, continue. When you marry and have children, you'll be taking them to that place. It's their church. Am I sounding harsh? I'm not. I love families. I love people growing. I love people doing well. I don't like to see. I hate anything going back. Anything going back, I don't like to see it. I like things moving forward. And God will cause our lives to move forward in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 21, look at this. It says, but what do you think? Now see, talking about thinking again, perception. A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Go ahead. But he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it and he went. Are you seeing that? Then he came to the second and said likewise. You know, the two children. So this one, I said, I will not. He didn't know that the guy has made up his mind, he will go. So he went to the other one as a second option. And he came and likewise. And he answered and I said, I will go. But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to him, look at, assuredly, I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and even believe. Now he's talking to the Pharisees. In other words, there are some people. You are the one who comes to church. You are the one fighting all your neighbors. You are the one who comes to church. You are the one quarreling with everybody. Then there is somebody who does not come to church at all. Then the person decides to come to church one day. And that day the person came to church. He stopped every noise and quarrel and became a peaceful person. God is saying, who did the will of the Father? Is it that person that is terrible and bad? Or you that have been forming good, but you are actually not good? Does this make any sense to us, what I'm trying to explain? So this other guy here now, I will do it. He did not do it. I remember those days when dad says, go wash the car. Or, you know, I'm the one that does my dad's washing of shirts, white shirts, singlets, and other things. I'm the one that handles that. But sometimes I complain a lot. I know myself. I know that I complain sometimes. It's very difficult sometimes. Especially, have you been there when you are washing something? They gave you four things to wash. Then you know, nobody say they happy too much. They wash and shower. They now bring one. As you are trying to wrap up and rinse, they now bring another one. That is how my dad can be sometimes. So anytime he gives me something, it's better just go and hide and wash it where he will not see me. And when I finish, we can start talking. I'm just trying to explain the kind of person I used to be. I'm born again now. Amen. I think I was born again then, but I've had a change of mind. You know. So these two sons, this one agrees that he will do it, and he did not do it. This one says, I will not, and eventually did it. Then God is telling us, teaching us a lesson. Now you see that person that said, I will not first, and changed his mind, is far better than the person who said, I will, but eventually is not doing it. Because at the end of the third day, your father will not judge your decision to do. He will judge whether you took action and did the thing. Let's rise up on our feet, church. These are the things that we want us to consider in the new year and start thinking and say, God, I want to be a better version of myself. I want to be a better husband, a better guy. You are in a relationship with a lady. Don't treat her too hard, too bad. Don't force all the whole world. You are in a relationship with a guy. Don't finish the guy's life. It's not an ATM machine. Help somebody's life. You know, behave well. Amen. Rise up, right? Some people are still sitting now. I will not continue. If I continue, you say the pastor, they close late now. So I'll say we should close early. You are still sitting. Rise up. I want us to rise up, and you're going to pray and say, God, every wrong perception that I have created, give me grace today. I raise it. Do you know some of you, God has perception about some people already? Many, many kind of perceptions about our behaviors, our attitude, our character. I don't want God to have perception of me that I'm a stingy person. Never. If there's anything in this kingdom, or that I hate kingdom work. No. So I labor. I do as much as I can. I'm not trying to impress God, because he will not be impressed by that. But I'm trying to do my bit, because I'm supposed to do it. As a son, as a daughter. How would your parents feel? Do you know some of us here now, your parents have shared their property, their life, they shared it in their mind already. And some of us are not in the real picture of it. By privilege of being a lawyer, you know, you read wills of people even before they die. A man in Lagos wrote a will. Now, this one became a public thing later.
He had two sons. He had good properties. I'm one of us, Ilukweju Road, that road, Yaba, that road, what do you call that road? Ikorodu Road. He had major businesses around those corners in Lagos and some other places. And I mentioned that one because they had the thing stated in the will, the property he really wanted to give the other son. So before the man died, he said he doesn't want his will to be read when it's dead. So they should just bring it and read it for the boys. So the two boys came and they sat down and the father brought the will. And the elder son has been a very riotous, been living a riotous life, like the prodigal son. Terrible life, wastage, live anyhow, he can't spend anyhow. The other day, yesterday or today, I don't know, I just saw some people spend about 90 something million naira at that club in or something in on the island. And I'm wondering, I don't know if they have the money, but sincerely, no matter how much you have, should that be for drink? I don't think so. Maybe some other things. How about people that are dying in charity? How about enjoying your life in a better way than that? Let's think. So the man brought his will and he showed them all his businesses. He handed everything over to the young boy. Then he took some chunk of cash and he gave the older one. Since you like to spend, lojaye, eat your life while you are alive. Then he told this other young one, he said, see all my properties and everything I own is been given to you. And he told them, said, if you have any issues with it, I don't hate you people, come and discuss it with me. Then they left. And people started advising the one that took me because he was initially excited, but since emptied in his brain. They now advised that, your dad did you a bad thing, no? That means he has known you that all your life is just money spent, that you will never build anything that will last. So he has given your brother everything he has built with his life, and he knows that this guy is a good administrator. It will grow. You will spend all this money, one day you start begging your brother, you see. Then all of a sudden, the other brother started changing. He changed his life. He didn't fight his father. He started changing. That money, he went to give it to investors. They started advising him what to do. Everything started shifting. Their father still had the opportunity to live long. Before then, he wrote a second will. And he rearranged everything. And planned this guy well, and planned this guy well. What changed? The behavior of the guy changed his father's perspective. Many people don't want their wealth and inheritance to waste in the hands of wasteful sons and daughters. It is painful and pain. You sweat a lot to make money. To give it to a boy or a girl that will waste it is very painful. The same thing with the Almighty God. It took a lot for him to invest those gifts and potentials in your life. He will not be excited to make you waste it. Let's think about 2025. Am I living a wasteful life? Am I doing something that makes God already has seen the way I will behave? So that God knows that if I'm giving this now, this is how I will act. I want you to say, Lord, I repent. Help me, give me a change of heart. Change my mindsets. Let me start saying things differently in the name of Jesus. Can you quietly just pray to God in few minutes? Just one minute, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Just talk to God. I don't want to be a quarrelsome guy anymore. I don't want to be a quarrelsome lady anymore. I don't want to be the kind of lady that is hard. Every man that comes around says, I'm too hard. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be the kind of husband that is too difficult for my family. I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be that kind of CEO or employer, whoever it is, that is dubious and deceitful, who always withhold good from those that deserve it. No, I don't want to be like that. God, help me to deal with my fellow human beings in a just manner. Help me also to love you passionately. I don't want you to see me as one of those that will not attend church, that will not do the work of God, one of those that when they talk about the things of God is not interested. I don't want to be seen that way, God. No, that is not me. That is not me. I believe that you created me, you love me, and I've given me the privilege to be on planet Earth. And Lord, help me to prioritize my life, to rearrange my priorities, to reset my priorities in the name of Jesus. Help me to reset my priorities in the name of Jesus. Ratemenekos kapaya, evende ruenekos kobarande libadosia, ratabanekesuke telebos kapaya. I want you to pray and say, God, help me. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. If you have people that have hurt you and you have revenge in your heart, 2025, can you please forgive them? Don't revenge. God has better plans for you. God has a beautiful life for you. Don't revenge. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful,
they will obtain mercy. There's somebody who loves to give to the poor. He can live longer than you that come to church every day, and you are very hard on people. You live longer because the Bible says, whoever gives to the poor lendeth unto God. In the day of his affliction on his sick bed, he said, God will remember him. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Say, God will remember him. So you just see that person that he might not be born again, oh, but God remembers and says, no, this one cannot die now. Why? There are about 20 people depending on this one. To reduce the harshness of life, he is alive. Then look at this one. He's claiming that he's like a Pharisee. But no show of sincere and genuine love. This one can come and be with me. Let this one continue to help the world for now. Maybe one day we even change and be born again. Let's see. I'm telling you the simple truth. Life is not the way some of us view it. We view it from the lens of God. Look at the Bible and see how things are. It will help us adjust. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice this morning that God will give us a change of heart. God will give us a change of heart. The heart that is loving, the heart that is caring, the heart that is concerned about people genuinely, the heart that is not full of revenge and bitterness, the heart that is full of the love of God, the heart that is excited to advance the kingdom in 2025, the heart that is excited to build a thriving family in 2025, the heart that is excited to build a godly relationship in 2025, in the name of Jesus. If there is any wrong impression that you have created, that has formed a perception in the heart of the people you work with, you live with, and they are treating you in a manner, and you're always wondering why, may God open your eyes to see the wrong impressions you have been creating and give you opportunity to correct them in the name of Jesus. No one here will regret. Everyone will rejoice. By this time in 2025, when people are gathered again in the house of God, in the place of joy and celebration, you will be there in the name of Jesus. I pray for everyone. We will not be looking for you. You will not be missing. You will not disintegrate. You will not deteriorate. God will give everyone here a beautiful and a godly heart. A heart that is tending towards the things that advance the cause of the kingdom. A heart that tends towards building godly families. A heart that tends towards becoming a better version of ourselves in God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lord God Almighty, as your sons and daughters have come to 29th, we know you will lead us all through and take us into the new year. As we gather here on the 31st, Lord, I ask all the blessings that you have released for that night, as we begin to pray, as we begin to fast in this season of fasting and prayer, that the heavens over us will remain open and we'll continue to receive from you all that you have in store for us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.